Let's open with hymn number 329. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God is in his holy habitation. He is God who setteth the solitary in families. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth his goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to guide and direct us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not forget our sins and be filled with pride, but continue in daily repentance and renewal, seeking our comfort only in the blessed knowledge that thou wilt be merciful unto us, forgive us our sins, and grant us eternal life. Through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 11th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 9th chapter of Daniel, the 15th through the 18th verse. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 10th verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Here ends the epistle lesson. My heart trusteth in God, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Hear the voice of my supplications. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Hallelujah. The gospel is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 9th through the 14th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 331.
Amen.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the 9th through the 14th verse. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood thus and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is both familiar and timeless, and it never fails to admonish us for how readily we think that we are doing good and living right, while at the same time we look down on our brother and are ready to accuse him of every sin ever committed by man. This parable always has something to say to us, because even though we readily admit that we are sinners, far too often we do not bother to consider the sins which we actually commit, but we readily notice them in others. We fall into the trap of repenting of our sins in general, while never bothering to examine our individual actions, words, and thoughts, according to the Ten Commandments. So that while we admit that we are sinners, we hardly notice our sins at all. See how similar this is to the condition of the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. He could not see his own sins because he trusted that he was righteous. Why should he examine himself? To look for the sin that is obviously not there. Or perhaps it is too trivial to even pay any attention. It is only a small step from the Pharisee's heart to our own if we likewise do not notice our sins, nor confess them, but appear before the altar of God, trusting that while we may be a sinner, we have not done anything seriously bad this week. It is the same blindness. But as with the Pharisee, so with us, this blindness does not extend to our neighbor's sin. The Pharisee had no problem there. He trusted in his own righteousness and he despised others, Jesus said. He could see his neighbor's sin just fine. And he noted everything that they did. There was no question where his neighbors stood before God. They were sinners. They were inferior. And of all the sinners that one might observe, the Pharisee had a perfect example before him. A tax collector. For us, April 15th and the mail system has mostly replaced tax collectors. But that does not mean that we are lacking when it comes to examples of people whom we despise as wicked at the same time that we ignore our own sins. Now, of course, it's easy to understand how tax collectors had become so despised. They took your money and they gave it to the government. By itself, that is not a very good reason to despise them, however natural it might have been to do so. After all, they were under the employment of the government. They were enforcing the law. Someone had to do it. And so by itself, there was nothing sinful about being a tax collector. And yet, largely the reputation of those tax collectors was well deserved. Oh, there were exceptions, such as Levi and Zacchaeus. But most such men abused their position horribly, demanding far more than they were required to collect, keeping it for themselves, living lives of hedonism, using the stolen wealth that they'd acquired,
and nobody could refuse them because they had only to petition the governor, and Roman soldiers would appear to do the collecting for him, taking by force what men would not give voluntarily. Well, I suppose things haven't really changed so much after all. So as far as occupations went in those days, collecting taxes was in the same category as prostitution, intrinsically sinful, the lowest of the low, the most despised of society. There was no more extreme example that the Pharisee could have had of a sinner than that of a tax collector. And so Jesus intentionally forms this parable so that he puts the most righteous of men up against the most despised sinner. And indeed, that is exactly what we have before us. One man whom God despises for his sins, and another man in whom the Lord delights and considers him righteous. The problem, though, is that the world has it backwards. For it is the tax collector who leaves to his home righteous, and the Pharisee who leaves a condemned sinner. Once again, God's ways confound the wisest of men and overthrow human reason. Jesus sums it up very nicely at the end. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. At first, this does not sound so unusual except for that word, everyone. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled? Yes, without a doubt. Everyone. There is no more sure sign that you stand condemned before God than when you stand before him and boast in what you have done for God. For it is certain then that you are trusting in your own works when faith is the only thing that counts with God. But what is faith? That's a very important question. And it is one that is answered by the tax collector. Faith is when you stand before God and make no excuses for your sins, when you do not hide them, when you confess them and ask for his mercy. The tax collector asked because, though he knew that he did not deserve that God should even hear his prayer, yet he believed not only that God would hear, but would grant his request and forgive his sins, and that is faith. It is the only saving faith. It is faith in Christ, because the tax collector did not appear in some pagan temple, but in the temple of the Lord who redeemed his people in his Son, whom he had ordained from eternity to be slain for the sins of the world. The tax collector appeared in that temple because he knew that there was salvation. But the Pharisee, in the same place, paid no heed to that salvation at all. Now, it would be very interesting to interview a bona fide Pharisee such as the one in the parable of Jesus, because I'd like to ask such a man about his faith. Namely, does he believe that he has faith? And if he thinks his faith is in any wise important? Because I think that the Pharisee would resolutely insist that he had faith and that it was vitally important. Hearing the prayer of this man, you can well imagine him responding, "Of course I have faith. Look at how I keep the commandments. See how I tithe, not just of my income, but of all my possessions. See how I fast twice a week so as better to pray." How would you answer that man? After all, doesn't the Apostle James say that faith without works is dead? Doesn't he even say that I will show you my faith by my works? How can you accuse a Pharisee of error just because he holds up his works as proof that he's righteous? After all, if we are saved by faith and faith without works is a false faith, then your good works are the proof that we are saved, right? Wrong. If that were true, then the tax collector must certainly be damned. After all, what does he have to offer God when he prays? What works can he point to? He is so ashamed of himself that he cannot even lift up his eyes to heaven. Yes, he is so conscious of his sins that he has nothing to offer God. Not a single good work comes to his mind. He cannot boast in a single commandment. Hearing the words of the Pharisee, the tax collector can well say, "Yes, I am the extortioner, the adulterer, the fraud." He's everything that the Pharisee despises. "Yes," he would say, "it is all true, it is all true." He is there, the condemned criminal, before the throne of his judge, and all he can do is beg for mercy. "Why, there is surely no more assuredly damned man than this man." And yet the tax collector returned to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee. The Pharisee came before God righteous and went away damned, but the tax collector came to God damned and went away righteous. The works of the Pharisee were of no help whatsoever in establishing or proving his salvation. They were useless. Why then did he trust in them so much? There are a great many people who are like the Pharisee, and perhaps you are one of them who assume that you are righteous. You trust that they're right, that such people trust that their righteousness is a done deal beyond question. Perhaps they even have a list, like the Pharisee, of the sins which they do not commit. The Pharisee prays, claiming to be innocent of three sins in particular: extortion, fraud, and adultery. And so he can tick off the seventh and eighth and sixth commandments. Your list may be a little different. Maybe something like, "I do not swear or steal. I do not defraud my neighbor. I stay faithful to my spouse. I've never lied in court. I tithe and I give money to charity. I stop to help broken down cars on the side of the road. More and more I am like Jesus, and this is the proof that I have a real saving faith. I can even thank God that he's made me so good so that I am not like other men." And this thought is reinforced by all those other men. Those adulterers, those drug dealers, those homosexuals. "I am not like them. I am better. Why, they even do me a service. They remind me to be thankful that I am not like them." The thing about lists like this is that the list might as well have been written about themselves. For the Pharisees were guilty of these very sins: extortion, fraud, and adultery, especially in the form of lust. Only they made all sorts of loopholes for themselves so that they did not count them as sins. And so, if you have a list, then beware of your list. I have a list for you that is much better. It is God's list. It is the Ten Commandments, which will most surely condemn you on every point, so that even if you do not remember the individual actions and words and thoughts which were evil, it is only because they're hidden from you, not because you are innocent. So why then does James tell us to pay attention to our works? He says this because we are saved by faith, and the devil is very happy to mess around with our heads and change the meaning of words. If he confuses us as to what saving faith is, then we can blindly believe we have faith when in fact we have nothing. We do not want to be like the Pharisee, who so misused the law that he assumed that he was righteous and he saw no sin in himself. He did not confess his sins. He did not trust the promise of Christ. And yet you can be sure that if given the opportunity, he would have boasted in his great faith. Nor do we want to be a so-called carnal Christian, a contradiction in terms, who thinks nothing of the wicked works that he does, but trusts that it's okay in the end, because God will forgive him anyway. This, too, is not faith. No, the right faith is shown by the tax collector, who acknowledges his sins and comes to God without boasting in any works. He says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He's ashamed, but he leaves the temple of God justified, with the certainty that God has put away his sins. There is no other way to leave the house of the Lord justified than to be as the tax collector. Therefore, beware the Pharisee in your heart and all of his lists and boasting. Confess your sins. Do not boast in any work of your own, but know that you justly stand condemned before a holy God. Nevertheless, believe the promises which God has made in his Son, Jesus Christ. He has forgiven your iniquities. He has put away your sin. He laid his anger by because Christ Jesus has borne his wrath for you. And now leave the house of the Lord justified, knowing that God has made you righteous in his Son. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, whose paths are mercy and truth unto such as keep thy covenant and testimonies, and whose secret is with them that fear thee, incline thine ear to us and hear our prayer, which we bring to thee not in our own name or righteousness, but in the name and by the merits of Jesus Christ. We praise thee for the glorious gospel of thy grace, whereby, according to thy faithful promises, thou didst send in the fullness of time thy Son, who died for our sins, rose again on the third day, that we through him might be saved. We thank thee for making known unto us, through the witness of the apostles, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though we have not seen him with the eyes of our flesh, yet we may rejoice with unspeakable and glorious joy, and receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Grant that we may ever stand steadfastly therein, earnestly repent of our sinfulness, turn to thee for forgiveness, and be purged of all iniquity. Give us true humility. Enable us by thy grace to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, and that we may be fruitful in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Bestow thy Holy Spirit upon thy church, O Lord, that it may go forth through into all the world, bearing thy precious gospel and preaching Jesus Christ among all nations for the remission of sins and the hope of eternal life. Save thy church from all its enemies, evil workers, and perverters of the truth, that it may know no other gospel than that which was once delivered to it. We pray for our country and beseech thee by thy mercy to give us executive, legislative, and judicial leaders who shall heed thy commandments, uphold and foster all good, oppose and punish all that is evil, that all our people may live in peace, safety, and honor. Pour out thy blessing upon our homes. Give mind and will to all parents to train up their children to love, know, and fear thee, to the end that all may live together in peace, kindness, and understanding. Hear the prayers of all the afflicted, the sorrowful and those who mourn, the needy and the homeless, the wounded and all in pain, the anxious and the despairing, and lead them by thy mercy to a happy issue out of all their adversities. Deliver us, O God, from every evil of body or soul, property or character, and at last, when the hour of death shall come, grant us a happy end and take us from this world of sorrow to thyself in heaven. These and all other things necessary for us, grant unto us by thine infinite mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star of our salvation. Amen.
We sing hymn 317. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
given into death for all your sins. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit,
that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 321. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.